because I write mystery and historical suspense fiction, I really believe in the power of the imagination. And for that reason, I don't generally believe haunted house stories and all the unsolved mysteries. I think that there's somebody creative behind it and the story has been repeated, or else there's some explanation we haven't gotten to. Anyway, that was the mantra that I went by until about 8 years ago when I left Baltimore to move to Minnesota. We moved there for my husband's work, familiar story, I'm sure, to a lot of people. And he went on ahead and was house hunting in the middle of the winter, and there was hardly anything there. And he wound up sending me a picture over the internet of a beautiful house one block from an elementary school. We had a kindergartner and a second grader, and it had a master bedroom fireplace, a living room fireplace, and a butler's pantry with the original woodwork. So I said, sold. I don't care that the kitchen is bad and, you know, we have to do work. We did all that in Baltimore. So I moved out with my kids, and the house looked as good as it had in the pictures. Didn't seem like anything was wrong, really. And the weather in Minnesota was improving. You know, we got there in April, and it was getting warmer, and things with snow was melting. But a funny thing happened. As the spring came on, I began to feel like I was shutting down. And about 6 weeks after we'd moved there, I was crying all the time. I wouldn't leave my house to go to social events. And I didn't need a psychiatrist husband, which I do have, to tell me that I was suffering depression. It was the first time I'd ever had anything like that happen. So immediately I went into, you know, mental health care mode and, you know, got a treatment plan together and medicine, exercise, and then, of course, home renovation. That's a really good way to boost your spirits. So we started planning, you know, the near, you know, six-figure kitchen craziness. And as I got better, you know, I was better in, you know, 10 months. It was like, oh, let's stop this medicine. I'm doing great, and I'm busy. But something strange had happened over that time. My husband had changed. My wonderful husband of 17 years, my college sweetheart, came to me one day, and he'd been cranky, and he said, you know, Sujata, I'm just not in love with you anymore. I just don't feel the same. And I was absolutely blindsided by it, and I didn't understand it. And the good news was he wasn't asking for a divorce. He didn't have a relationship with anyone. He just felt different. So I started thinking about something, because I had heard that the people who sold us the house had a really difficult divorce. Everybody talked about it all over the neighborhood. And I thought, yeah, could there be bad energy, just bad feng shui? And I asked, I found the oldest neighbor in the street, and I asked her about the family before that. I said, were they happy? What were they like? She said, oh, they were a wonderful family, but, you know, things ended up kind of sad for them. You know, wife, husband, two little girls. He said, they didn't divorce. Oh, no, but the husband died of alcoholism. So then I'm thinking, ooh, this is a bad luck place that I've landed. What am I going to do? I went and I got a book, of course. I want to read books about things and to try and fix things for myself. And I thought that maybe I needed a combination of feng shui, space clearing. I didn't want an exorcist because I'm not Catholic to start with. And I felt that these two things I managed to find in one woman, a woman from Panama who lived in the Twin Cities, who was a specialist. And we talked over the phone, and she could tell immediately that I needed help. She said she wished she could come to me the next day, but she had a waiting list that so long she couldn't come for 2 months. And in that process of that time, our dog, who had arrived normal, you know, attacked our daughter when I was sitting in the kitchen and bit her in the face and wound up being taken away from animal control. And I thought, you know, Esmeralda, get here as fast as you can. One fall day, she arrived at 9 a.m., a little lady with a Louis Vuitton bag and high heels who was also carrying 8 bouquets of flowers. She got to work right away. She sat down in my living room and began sensing the spirits that were all around. Then we started to travel through the house, and she told me the feelings that she was getting. We went into the basement. She likes to start from the ground up. And we were in a storeroom where we keep sleds and skates and cans of food. And she said, when you and Tony are down here, do you ever argue? Do you ever get in big problem fights? And I said, oh, no, not at all. I'm usually down here just getting something by myself. And she said, well, I feel like I'm being hit. I feel very strongly like I'm being hit. And this is the place where a man used to take his wife and he would beat her. And he would take her into this little room in the basement because the children couldn't hear. And they could, you know, they would have this fight. Well, swallowed hard and moved on. I said, I don't know anything about that. As we were proceeding from the first floor to the second floor, there's a landing with a window. And she stopped there and she said, Sujata, do you ever stand here and look out the window? I said, no, I'm always carrying a heavy basket of laundry for my children. And she said, well, there is a woman who stands here. I feel her. She's very, very sad. She stands here and looks out the window. We proceed on to the second floor. She goes into my daughter's bedroom. She looks at her picture. She says she's not happy here. This state is not diverse enough for her. She goes into our, looking at her picture. Easy one, right? Just like when she went into our room and she saw the bed and she was like, there is a wall between you and your husband. This is not good. And I thought, well, she's probably got a hint of something from me about that. But then as she went around the room, she looked at this chair and she said, that is a very sad chair. That chair is so sad. And that was the chair that I had been crying in all those months that I was depressed. And she had out of the whole house, she had figured out that chair. So I was starting to get a little bit more confident about her skills. But when we reached the third floor, wow, that's when I really got frightened. The first thing she said was, she said, this place does not look the way it should be. I said, what do you mean? She said, this is not a finished space. Did you finish it? I said, no, it's a beautiful finished third floor. The walls are painted some Benjamin Moore sky blue. And I made it as a playroom for my children, but they, some reason they don't want to play here very much. She said, well, you know, what I feel is there's a little girl who lives here. She's very, very scared. And she comes up here to hide because she's been suffering horrific abuse. And there were a lot of boxes here, and she was able to make herself very small and hide and not be found from her abuser. And when I heard that, that is when I lost it, and I started to cry. And I said, please, Esmeralda, can you send her on? Can you release her? She said, well, the thing is, she likes it here now. She likes your children very much. She loves them. She thinks you're the best family that's ever been here, so she doesn't want to go. But what I can do is make her more comfortable. So the way we made those spirits comfortable is we went around the house, we took those flowers, we made bouquets in every single room. She had special incense from Latin America that she burned. It was not sage, it was something special. And then she prayed, and she taught me how to do the prayers. But I was really basically so shell-shocked that I don't know how much I was able to accomplish. But she did the work. She rang the bells. At the end of the day, she left after about 8 hours of work. And about 2 days later, I began to feel the air was different in my home. And I realized that it had felt before like a storm was coming, like you're about to have a tornado and that kind of energy. And that was no longer there. And that was a good feeling. And then as the months continued, my husband came back to who he was. He was in love again, and we were doing things, and it was just really a positive experience. But it wasn't a done deal. Because a couple of years later, you know, my daughter had respiratory problems since she was a baby, and she was having problems and, you know, sick in bed pretty seriously, and went to the hospital probably almost every year. She was sick one day when she was sick in bed, and I was sitting at her side trying to decide whether it was going to be one of those hospital nights or whether we'd pull through with the nebulizer. She said, Mom, that man's looking at me again. And I said, what do you mean, honey? She said, look right past the door. Can't you see him? Can't you see that old man? And it came out that whenever she was sick in bed, there was a man, and her bedroom door was open. She always wanted her doors open and wouldn't go to other floors by herself. She would see an old man there. And, you know, I thought, could be a delusion, this or that. And then her little brother said, yeah, I've seen an old man in the mirror in the bathroom on the third floor. So I was really getting some chills there. And I thought, what do I do with this information? Do I call Esmeralda back to do more? She missed this person before. Will she get him, or who else is there? It's an old house. 1913 was the year the house was built. So I thought about that. I thought I could have done a research on really if there had been crimes in the house, this or that. And then I could have thought, too, you know, what my daughter was saying to me is she was not afraid of the old man. She was not afraid at all. It was a very neutral thing. And so perhaps the old man was the father who had died of alcoholism, who had two little girls, that no one said anything was wrong with him except, you know, he had this drinking problem. So I decided that was going to be the thing. I wasn't going to look any further into it. But I still wasn't comfortable, so I came up with a very radical solution. I sold the house and moved back to Baltimore. Yeah. I love that. It took about 2 years to do it. And I swore during those years in Minnesota that I would never, ever again buy an old house. I'd do a McMansion. I'd do something new. I'd foreclosures. You know, no one had lived in them. But I wound up buying an old house in Tuxedo Park, even older. But I did my due diligence on the families that lived there before. I can trace them back to the 50s. And happy people living nearby. And when I'm in that house at night or in the day, anywhere I go, I do have a feeling in that house. But all it is a warm embrace. Thanks.